On the line now, I have David Moore from Astronomy Ireland. Good afternoon, David. How are you?
Very well, thank you.
Okay, now we have a couple of things coming up, one in September, but what's happening tonight?
Well, the planet Saturn is going to be just above the moon this evening. Now, you can see the planet Saturn with the naked eye, but most people wouldn't know which star-like object it is. Mm-hmm. But tonight, one night only, we actually have the moon signposting Saturn. I think everybody can find the moon soon after sunset. You'll see it over in the west, a lovely crescent, by the way. And just to its upper right are actually two reasonably bright stars. The lower one is actually a real star called Spica. It's the brightest star in Virgo, actually. And the one above that, about the same brightness, is Saturn. Now, you'll see it plainly with the naked eye. And if you have a telescope, do get it out, because you'll see the lovely rings. And if it's a good telescope, you'll actually get to see the moon Titan going around Saturn as well. It's a lovely diagram on our website showing what the view will look like.
Okay. You can be seen with the naked eye, but better off with a telescope if people happen to have one.
Yeah, well, to the naked eye, all you'll see is a star. Mm-hmm. At least you'll know which star is Saturn. You remember where it is. It's going to be there for the next few weeks. But of course, you have a telescope, the star will be transformed into that beautiful ringed planet.
And any idea of the time? Will it be there at the same time as sort of the moon comes out sort of thing? Or?
Yeah, the best time to see is just after sunset. So the sun is setting around 9:30. So by 10 o'clock, it should be dark enough to see the brighter stars, including the planets, in the sky. And you'll see the moon, of course. So you actually see that even before the sun sets. You can see the moon in daylight. I'm sure lots of people have done that. So you see the moon from 9:30 onwards when the sun sets, for sure. And just keep trying for Saturn above that as the twilight fades away.
Yeah, and I think all the signs are that the skies are going to be fairly clear for a change. Incidentally, this is we're going to be talking about the star, because it's not taking place until the 15th of September, but you always get loads and loads of bookings, so if people are interested, they should start making applications now. But just incidentally, how long has it been going now?
Gosh, I think it's 1992. It's probably the 20th year, if I remember correctly.
Celebration.
Yeah. And it's grown from, I think, 20 or 30 people that came along to a sort of members event to a huge event for the general public. So we invite everybody in the country who wants to look through the biggest array of giant telescopes that ever get assembled in Ireland every year. We've had up to 50 giant telescopes on one occasion. And to see things like Saturn, but not only the planets. We're in a dark sky south of Dublin in Roundwood, the highest village in Ireland, deep in the Wicklow Mountains, where there's almost no lights from Dublin City visible, a small glow in the north. But the rest of the sky is gloriously clear. And the views of star clusters, galaxies, even the odd comet is breathtaking. It's the kind of view most experts in astronomy never get to see. So to be able to show that to the general public is astounding. And we have lots of talks and events going on at the same time. We have a speaker coming over from the BBC Sky at Night programme, one of the new presenters with Sir Patrick Moore.
Okay, this event that you're talking about now, people can learn everything about it on astronomy.ie. And incidentally, have you noticed over the years, in the 20 years, David, that people are becoming more independent now and they're all bringing their own telescopes and stuff like that, yeah?
Well, yeah, more people have telescopes because in real terms, since I was a kid, telescopes have dropped by a factor of 10 in value. I mean, from Astronomy Ireland shop, you can get a really good telescope for around €100. Even some of them that will show the rings of Saturn for less than €100, 50 or 60 euros. And, you know, back in the old days, you'd have to pay close to 500 to 1,000 euro in terms of earning power.
Yeah, and the word they use, being cool, it's cool now. It was a bit nerdy now, maybe 20 years ago, but it's really cool now.
Yeah, I think with the modern pace of science and technology, and all the talk you hear about, you know, the country's economic future lies in the science and technology area, and everybody's got gadgets and phones and computers are in houses these days. Mm-hmm. The whole idea of the technology, at least, has become commonplace. And a telescope is just another gadget like that. In fact, the latest ones are amazing. They have computers attached, GPS systems. They can almost talk at this stage. In fact, you can get one system that can talk to you. And it's like having a pet astronomer with you. You simply you can talk to it, and it can talk back to you. And you can ask it to find anything you want in the universe. And it will do it for you while you keep your hands in your pockets.
Okay,
that's how advanced it's become.
And while we're talking about it, I just mentioned again, people can look up astronomy.ie for all the details. But you've turned it into a real family event. And also, not to deter people, because I mentioned there that a lot of people over the years have gotten into astronomy, but there's still lots and lots of people. So for novices, there's loads of things laid on. There's explanations, and there's learning the constellations and masterclasses on how to use indeed the telescopes and binoculars.
Yep, we try to cover everything. We always have lots of different demonstrations. We take over the entire GA grounds up at Roundwood. We have a 1,000-seater hall there mm-hmm. that we can hold the talks in. We have small rooms off that we can run little workshops in. We have the most powerful handheld laser in Ireland that could point up to show all 1,000 people at once, if necessary, mm-hmm. the stars. And over a PA system, we can tell them the names and teach them the constellations very quickly. You know, like you can't really do on paper. The sky is sort of three-dimensional. Having a laser pointing at real stars is the ultimate way to do it. And then there's the telescopes out on the pitch, all brought along by volunteers, because it is a fundraising event for the society. We are a non-profit group. It's our biggest annual fundraiser. By the way, we should say the tickets are on sale now. If you buy them a month in advance, you get a reduced rate. So do check out the website soon and bring the whole family along. And the whole emphasis is on making people have a bit of fun. We realize it's most people's first introduction to the night sky. Mm-hmm. They're going to learn the constellations. They're going to look through some incredible telescopes. I mean, you can see some of these pictures in books, magazines, and on the internet. But until you've seen things in the universe live, they just look completely different than a long exposure photograph. And, you know, the actual light from those objects that left thousands and sometimes millions of years ago is going into your eye and stimulating the cells at the back of your eye. I mean, it's an experience. It's one of those things, you know, put on your bucket list.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I know. I also want to mention that the lecture that was given by Professor Rolf Huer, who was here recently, but you have that available on DVD as well for anybody that missed it.
We certainly do, and what a humdinger of a lecture it turned out to be. I mean, our biggest claim to fame now is that after the press conference on July the 4th, when they announced found the God particle, mm-hmm. the first ever public lecture that the Director General gave in the world was in Dublin to Astronomy Ireland. So it's a historic DVD. You can order it for €10, including the post and packing, on our website. The lecture is brilliant. He is a professor. He could have just been a scientist spouting facts and figures. Mm-hmm. But he has a fantastic sense of humor, some brilliant ways of explaining what they were doing. But if even for the people who maybe are studying the area, there's enough charts and tables in there if you want to freeze frame the DVDs that explain the nuts and bolts of exactly what they've done and how they did it. And I think it will give people a great understanding of what this Higgs field is that we're all living in mm-hmm. right now, and why this €5 billion discovery with 7,000 of the world's top scientists was so important.
And he was sort of, wasn't it him that was recommended that Ireland should join CERN? No matter, even if it is sounds expensive, but in the long run, especially to encourage young people to get into the science and everything to do with science, because there seems to be a lack of interest in a lot of the students. I think it's building up a little bit, but to get them more interested.
Absolutely. I mean, it's a big goal for Astronomy Ireland is to develop a science culture for Ireland, not just to be an astronomy society. Mm-hmm. And, of course, some people will say, well, Rolf Huer, you know, he is running CERN Director General, the more people get involved, the more funding they're going to have, and that's very true. But why are all these countries doing it? Why did they spend €5 billion just so they could waste it? Absolutely not. The reason is it trains your young graduates, some of whom will go on into this area of basic science, where you don't really know what the spin-offs are going to be for decades.
Well, the example, I mean, the Young Scientist of the Year, every year, which you're at as well, I mean, that's an example of how great young people can be if they're given the opportunity.
Absolutely. And, you know, of those 7,000 scientists, some of them will go back into academic pursuits and train the next generation of scientists and engineers. And how important is that? And then thirdly, a lot of them will go into industry, you know, where they'll have the kind of training they couldn't have got anywhere else. They've had to invent new things themselves. They won't just be following orders. And these are the kind of creative people that top companies want. Mm-hmm. If you want to lead the world in this, you know, you've got to invest a little bit in this blue skies research to find out what can come of it all. I mean, in the early days, nobody knew what electricity was going to be any use for. And also this idea of quantum mechanics that is running all the electronic systems that we're all using today. Mm-hmm. Nobody knew what use that was going to be. And even the predecessor to this, the very CERN experiment, created the World Wide Web. And look at how important that's become in the world today. So you never know what real spin-offs are going to come out of it. The training that that people get operating these systems is second to none. And the money, anyway, gets reinvested. One thing Ralph Hoyer was saying was that this would entitle Irish engineering and science and technology companies to tender for contracts to build parts mm-hmm. for this 5 billion euro experiment. So you tend to get a lot of the money back, but the training, and I suppose the prestige of saying, well, you know, we are a real science and technology country. We're in CERN. We're in the European Space Agency. We do this kind of research in our universities, third-level institutions. Just gives the high technology companies who want to come and have a base mm-hmm. in Europe.
It's good credentials, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a great credential to have, isn't it?
And when you consider, it would cost Ireland a few million a year. And you know, on the scale of what we're currently spending, $30 billion a year on running our public services, you know, and your stated aim is that the future of your economy is science and technology.
Yeah. Okay, well, they're talking
a small number of millions a year, too much to pay? Yeah, I don't think so.
Yeah, well, they're talking to talk a lot. I know it's only been a few weeks, David. Is there any hint at all that they might go for it in the government? Or have they just completely ignored it? And as I say, it's only a few weeks.
I mean, you can sort of understand it from the government's point of view. They have a massive overspend that they have to get back. And mm-hmm. when projects come up, they're looking for extra money. When the instruction is start cutting money, mm-hmm. It can be very difficult. But you know, sometimes the right decision is made for the right reasons. And I do think that the fact that, you know, the future employment in this country is not tourism, it's not agriculture. The main one the government have identified is the knowledge-based economy. Know, where science and technology is at the front, and who doesn't believe the next century science and technology is going to be one of the biggest and most important sectors? In fact, already in Ireland, 60% of our GDP comes out of science and technology-based operations. The multinationals doing pharmaceuticals, electronics, and all that kind mm-hmm. of thing. It's a huge employer already. It puts a huge amount of money into this economy. We are not a tourist economy. We are not an agricultural economy. We already are a science economy. And when you look at the wider international picture, I think 49 of the 50 United States states have all listed that their future economy also lies in the science and technology area. Now, they're doing that, you know, and we're doing it as well. We have a lot of competition mm-hmm. up there from some pretty big players.
Okay, so maybe during the summer break you'll have time to consider it and think about it, and there might be some good news.
Well, you know, one day these issues will become doorstep issues when the electorate are saying to the public representatives, you know, well, how come we don't invest in science and technology if you think that's where all of our future kids' jobs are coming from?
Yeah. Okay,
it's
well,
a valid
anyway.
Question.
Yeah, okay. Well, anyway, to fun time, the Starbecue is on the 15th of September. So people should look up astronomy.ie. But of course, you're down in Airways there if people want to drop in and have a look around at all the equipment that you have there as well.
Yep, there's a huge telescope shop there, and there's a sun show every Saturday at 1 p.m. with a 3,000 euro, very high-tech, specialized telescope that can show you the sun the way no other telescope can. So do pop in for that any clear Saturday, and you can pop in for a one-on-one demonstration whenever you want. And just to remind people of those Starbecue tickets, you know, book early, a month early, and you'll get the reduced rate. So we want as many people to book as early as possible. It helps tell our caterers how many people are coming.
And they book through the website, obviously, David.
Yeah, you can also call Astronomy Ireland 890-1111 or use the website 24 hours a day.
Okay, that's 890-1111. Thanks very much, David. Always a pleasure to talk to you, and enjoy the rest of the summer.
You too, Noel.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. And that's David Moore, Astronomy Ireland. And you can, the number there again, if you just want to ring, 890-1111. That's 890-1111. Or you can look up astronomy.ie and you get all the information on the Starbecue taking place on the 15th. And it's going to be very popular. So get in there early and get your tickets as a concession there if you do go early on them.